Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, all scripture is given by the breath of God, inspiration of God, God literally breathing the words, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The subject, of course, is the Word of God, the God-breathed Word, the Holy Ghost breathed the words of God. I think it is imperative that we understand that it's the words that are important. We get off on this teaching stuff. Here's what the Bible teaches. I'd much rather say, here's what the Bible says. Because we can take verses and cause many teachings to come therefrom. But when the Word says it, then it says what it means and means what it says. God never did worry about whether or not He made any mistakes when He breathed these words. We'll talk more about that later. But the book of God is just exactly that. It is God's book, not man's book. It's God's book. It's not man's book to wallow through it and grade the writing and determine that this is right and this is wrong and so on, and to change it for his own benefit. This is God's word, not man's word. Natural man has not the ability to correct a sovereign God. And when he thinks he can, he's too big for his britches. The truth is that he thinks he's smarter than God. I always like to hear those fellows preach because they're going to fall flat on their face somewhere because they're trying to correct someone that's never made a mistake. How can you correct someone who's never made a mistake? You see, the problem is it is the mind of man and the philosophies of man that are wrong. And we're trying to convince God that He's wrong. That's not the way it happens. All Scripture is breathed of God Almighty. The breath of God is upon it. I told you last week, remember, when we breathe upon a mirror, upon a cold piece of glass, then we leave our DNA on that glass. When God breathed this book, His DNA is in every word, not every page, every word. Every single word. Not just a few, but every single word is the Word of God. Now we come tonight, on last Sunday evening, we talked about this thing of breathing and the profitableness thereof. We come tonight to the word doctrine. The word is Dikaleosa, and it literally means divine truth, or divinely, truly divine. Here is the doctrine of God Almighty. I am perplexed with those who separate themselves, they say, from doctrine. It's a sad day when the preachers across America say they're not going to preach any doctrine. I don't know how you can preach. Before God, what can you say if you don't preach any doctrine? I think it's entirely impossible because most of them aren't preaching anyhow. So it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, I guess. Then the word reproof shows up. Now, the word reproof is the word elikos, and it means conviction. The Word of God brings conviction. How about that? Now look up here. Here is the reason that most people want to change the Word of God because it brings conviction. They're convicted by the words that are written on the paper. You can't read this book. I don't care who you are, what your spiritual pedigree is. You cannot read this book without being convicted somewhere in your life. You can't hear Bible preaching and not come under conviction sometime. And if you can, then you're either like Elijah, you just need to find you a whirlwind, or you're so rejected, so reprobated that you can't hear. God calls them dull of hearing. Our Lord said those of His day were dull of hearing. You can get dull of hearing. You can come to the point in your life to where you no longer hear the Word of God. Though it's preached, no matter who reads it, you no longer hear it because your ears have been stopped from the most important thing you could ever hear. God help us, that's so. So conviction is necessary. God help you if you ever come to the point where you're not convicted. Then comes this word correction. Now the word correction is an extremely important word. It literally means that the whip, let me call it that, the whip has been taken to us and we have been straightened up. That's what the word literally means, to be straightened up. How many times have you heard your mom or your dad say, now straighten up, straighten up. School teacher says, straighten up. And what they're saying to you is, you aren't doing according to plan. So it's time to straighten up. So here comes this word of correction. And then, of course, instruction in righteousness. I want to move to the corruptors of the Scriptures. Here is the beauty of the text itself. And it's breathed of God. But there are corruptors of the Bible. We're told that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, watch the words, and being deceived. It's a day when men are willing to be deceived in order to soothe a wicked conscience by religion, not regeneration, religion. There's a major difference. But people in churches across this country are welcoming this religious shenanigan that satisfies their guilty conscience. And they're willing to live through that and go through that in order to get through time. That's exactly what they're going to do, get through time. But the day's coming that we're going to stand before a holy God. And when we stand before a holy God, we better have truth rather than error. Bible corruptors, turn in your Bibles with me to the 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Paul quickly jumps on this in this second epistle to the church at Corinth. And here's how he says it. Listen carefully now. Verse number 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Now watch the words. Lightness are the things that I purpose. Do I purpose according to the flesh that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? Now, Paul said, I'm in the business of telling you straight what God wants you to know. My yea is nay, my nay is nay. The yea of God is yea, the nay of God is nay. Not somewhere in between. Paul's saying there is no gray area here. It is either white or black. One of the two. Paul is willing to say that the Corinthian church needs to hear. The modern day church needs to hear yea, yea, nay, nay. We don't need to hear all of this preaching that delves around the outer edge of circumstances. We need to hear it coming straight to our hearts, exactly what our Lord says. Then, of course, He declares that we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. What an awesome circumstance. Even in Paul's day, he said, now watch the words here. Paul said that in his day, the corruption had already begun. This book was probably written about 60 AD or so. And Paul's saying already the corruption is entering the Word. Already men are changing the Word. I'm glad Paul said, I'm not like that. I'm not one of those that corrupts the Word of God. We could, in Matthew chapter number 13, verse 25 and following, Jesus gives us the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now get the picture. Wheat and tares look much alike. As a matter of fact, you better be one more well-trained eye to tell the difference between the two as they grow. But when they're grown, now remember, if you look at the account thereof, our Lord said, just let them grow together. Let them grow together until the harvest. Then the tares can be gathered and burned, and the wheat is gathered into the barns. What a difference. Now what's the difference in the wheat and the tares? The wheat is the good grain. The tares are those things that mimic the wheat, look like the wheat, but notice the difference when they're fully ripe. The wheat will bow its head, and the tares will stand up looking straight at you. The wheat are the children of God. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The children of the wicked one look like the wheat. They're hypocrites. They act like the wheat. They look like the wheat. Most people would call them wheat. But when it comes time to be gathered in, now the difference is seen. Now, Jesus warned us that the tares are present, then surely we ought to be aware that they're present today. I've made this statement down through the years, and I believe it more now than I made it than I did when I made it 50-some years ago. The modern church, at least 90% of the modern church, are tares. You say, that's a big number, Brother Larry. Well, you just wait and see. Let's wait it out and see who's right. I think you're going to find out that the vast majority of so-called church attendees in America tonight are as unregenerate as they ever were. Never been born again. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But Jesus called us wheat. Called the unbelievers, the hypocrites, tares. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul deals with this thought of the false teachers bringing in verse number 4, another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. Now, Brother Larry, are you telling me that preachers are preaching another Jesus? Well, where have you been? That there is another spirit again. Where have you been hiding? Another gospel? Absolutely. Hadn't been too long ago I was talking to a preacher, and he started off trying to rake me over the coals for believing the doctrines of grace. Well, there's two or three things you ought to know before you do that. First off, I've been before the Sanhedrin. They didn't convince me. Now, if they didn't convince me, you're not going to convince me. I'm going to say it to you like this. If God Almighty doesn't do the saving, you're going to hell. I don't care how many grannies you had praying for you. The modern church is hearing another gospel. I said to this young man, you need to preach the truth. He said, well, I don't understand all that doctrine. I'm just going to preach the gospel. And I said, and when, sir, do you expect to begin? You see, you're not preaching the gospel if you're not preaching salvation by grace. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is grace and grace alone. It is God. God is the author. God is the finisher of our salvation. It is Christ who has paid the price. It is He and He alone that has put this thing in motion. It is the good Holy Ghost that draws you to the bleeding side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that, you'll perish no matter what you hear. Salvation is of the Lord, not of man. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is just that. I want to instruct you again. Listen carefully. The doctrine for the New Testament church is only seated in the Gospels. The Apostle Paul had the revelation of the New Testament church, and Paul planted the churches and sent the doctrines back to the churches and taught them the things we're to be preaching tonight. And Paul declares that salvation is by grace. Read the Ephesian letter. Read any of his letters. And this truth just pops out all over. Now, Jesus gave us the truth of it several times, but especially in his prayer in John 17. So just read the text and pray for God to give you wisdom to see the truth of it. Another Jesus, another Spirit, and another gospel. False apostles, deceitful workers, Paul called them, transforming themselves into an angel of light or the apostles of Christ. That's further down in chapter number 11, down about verse number 13, 14, 15, so on. So Paul's warning the Corinthian church of all these things. And then when he writes to the church at Colossae, he says, let no man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Now, what are we living with in the modern day pulpit? Philosophy. I had one man in my lifetime tell me that he didn't agree with my philosophy. I said, sir, my philosophy means absolutely nothing. No, that's not what he said. He said, our philosophies are not the same. I said, our philosophies mean absolutely nothing. But what that book says is a difference between heaven and hell for your never dying soul. Now let's approach it this way. We are dealing with blood poison. How many of you ever laid eyes on a member of the body that is infected with what we call blood poison or gangrene? It is a pitiful looking circumstance. And in most cases, that limb is going to be lost. And it's because the blood has been poisoned. That poison from that body part is now moving through the remainder of the body. That's why the doctor says it's got to come off. It's got to come off or you're going to die. Why? Because it's carrying the rest of that poison to the rest of your body. Your blood system is carrying the poison other places. Now, I said that to say this. You listen to me carefully. In the last 100 years, a tad over that now, but in the last 100 years, blood poisoning has wreaked its way into the church. And it's done for a soul through the corruption of the Word of God. All of these revisions are for one purpose, to corrupt the bloodstream. Good people are deceived by this corruption. men who believed the Word of God have been taught in our seminaries and our Bible colleges, in our churches, to accept the revisions because they are scholarly more precise. Now let me tell you something tonight, and you put the date down beside it when I told you, and we'll stand before God and talk about it if you still want to talk about it. There are no better translations. There is no better manuscript than what the King James Bible was translated from. There is no more correct Bible anywhere in the world than the King James Bible. And when we are taught otherwise, we're taught simply on the basis of what we would call manuscript criticism. It's the criticism of the manuscript that the Word of God was translated from, and they have found a better one. Now let me tell you where the better one came from. The better one that they're using came from the papal church. There is not an organization anywhere on God's green earth that is more corrupt than the papal church. Hello, thank you, and you're welcome. Absolutely nothing more corrupt. Now, I don't have time to explain all that to you. You just check it out for yourself. If you think you can pray to a patron saint and get your sins forgiven, if you think you can go to a priest and confess your sins and him tell you, do about 250 Hail Marys and bow four times toward Jerusalem and look up to heaven three times, cross your heart five, and everything will be all right. Well, that's a bunch of tomfoolery. It won't even grow good tomatoes. Foolishness. Religious foolishness. It's not just that church that's corrupt. It's spit out a bunch that's corrupt. You see, once the stream is poisoned, the poison goes through all of the land. And here we are, near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, living in a corrupt world with a corrupt church, corrupt preachers who have deceived people by their lies and their lightness, Jeremiah called it. Lies and lightness, foolishness, and flat-out lies. Corrupting the Word of God means, listen to me, means that the sperm of the Word of God is powerless. If the Holy Ghost is grieved, and don't even try to convince me that the Holy Ghost is not grieved by these translations that leave the blood out numerous times, not just once or twice, but numerous times, and deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and declare that the blood of Jesus Christ is not sufficient for your forgiveness, the cleansing of your sin. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost is not grieved. And the Holy Ghost being grieved, that takes the power away from the preaching. And when the power of the preaching's gone and the power of the Word is gone, there is no regeneration. There are religious experiences, but there is no regeneration. No salvation. Remember what I said at the outset? 90% of the modern church is going to hell right now, tonight, because the Word has been corrupted, and a Word that has been corrupted is powerless to convict and powerless to regenerate the lost soul. Don't be ashamed to hold up this old King James Bible and declare it to be so, for it is so. Be grateful that God has preserved this book for us. Listen, It's getting harder and harder to go to a bookstore and find a King James Bible. About the only place you can find a King James Bible anymore is from church printing houses where they're printing still the Word of God. You can go to the bookstores and they'll dig through boxes and take 5-10 minutes and finally find you one, but they're scarce. Now let me ask you something. Why are they scarce? They sell what sells. They stock what sells. Look what they have out before you to buy. It's all of these revisions. Oh, they dress them up, make them look good on the outside. But I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the Pharisees. Within is dead men's bones. Fix it up on the outside. Whitewash it on the outside. Make it look good outside. But inside lurks death, not life. The Word of God brings life. Remember last week, Lazarus. When Jesus spoke, Lazarus got up. When Jesus spoke, the widow Nain's son got up. All we need is the touch of God or the voice of God. And we'll not have that when we have a corrupted text where the Word of God is being corrected by imbeciles who couldn't find their way home after dark by themselves for the most part, and yet they're willing to criticize God's Word and correct Him. Man's wisdom or God's wisdom, it's one of the two. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 21, Simon Peter said, "The prophecy came not of old by the will of men." Didn't come by the will of men, but by holy men of God. They spake as they were carried on. That's what that word move means, as they were picked up and carried on by the Holy Ghost. Every revision of the text of the Word of God has been by the will of men. We'll do that again. You just get a hold of it. The Word of God warns us that it's coming, and it's all about us tonight. And most people are carrying around, or even folks in so-called Bible-believing Baptist churches are carrying around revisions of the Scripture, which is not a revision, but a reversal. I'll tell it what, like it is. Now look at this text again. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of men, or man, but holy men. But holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried on by the Holy Ghost. Now here's the decision you have to make, and I'm finished. The decision we must make, is it the will of God or the will of man? Am I going to believe what the will of God has brought to me, or am I going to concede that the will of man is more important, and the will of man then is the thing I'm going to follow? None of me. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will believe the will of God, the Word of God, not the will of man or the revisions of man. Every one of them, every last one of them, had an agenda. Now, even before some of these revisions began to show their ugly faces, the truth was being rejected. Here is that marvelous passage of Scripture that is hated by Bible corruptors and Bible deniers. I'm going to begin reading here with, I'm going to start reading at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Did you hear that? who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now listen carefully. You're going to find out here why we're in the mess we're in this country. Because that which was known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewn it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now let me say it to you quickly. Every nation under the sun at one time or another had some kind of a manifestation of a holy, sovereign God in their history. And they refused to believe what God revealed to them, and in so doing, they wind up where the text is taking us. God said they're without excuse. Watch this, verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart were darkened. How about that? Do you suppose we're in that age? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'm wise enough to correct God, and they proved themselves to be fools. Watch this now. They changed the glory of God, glory of the incorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. See the degeneracy here? God told the children of Israel not to make any images, and to burn those that they came across. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, watch it, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, here comes the translations, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, because of this, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or necessary, rightfully deserved. Now, do you need a translation of that? You're living in the age of the Sodomite again. That's exactly what causes it. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now there's your answer. Right there in the Word of God. and we refuse to believe it. It's because the Word of God's been changed into a lie. And men have worshiped their own selves rather than the Creator. How many years have I been preaching that the major sin in America, in America's church, is stealing the glory of God? And when you steal the glory of God, you're headed for a fall. God is obliged to put you in the dust because He's God. Do we believe this book? I don't know how you could read that chapter and not believe. I don't know how you can read a verse anywhere and not believe it if you're a saint. But you'd be surprised at the number of people in our modern age that do not believe that passage of Scripture and say that that does not belong in the Bible because God is a God of love. That's true, He is. But He's also a God of wrath and a God of judgment. To be one without the other would not be God. So the wrath comes, and we suffer the vengeance of God and the wrath of God because we change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. I could spend three nights on that very statement right there. But we're eat up with worship in individuals rather than worship in God. Preachers are being worshiped across this country and enjoying it. But God's not around. You wonder why God lets them live, because He's not around. He's letting the hellions go on as they are and glean as they will, and they will. Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank You tonight for the precious, precious Word. Thank You for breathing this book. Thank You for breathing every word. Thank You for the power, the dynamite in every word. Now, Lord, convince our hearts. May not one set before us through this study and not see how precious this book is and how You, as You are, have preserved it down through these years. And we have tonight a copy of the precious Word of God. Thank You for what it's done for us and what it's going to do for us in days to come. In Jesus' name.